Hello, I'm Daniel Gregory, and thank you so much for joining me today for episode 472 of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful week. Thanks again for listening to the podcast and being a subscriber. And if you're not a subscriber, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, and you'll be able to be notified of all of the latest and greatest podcasts when they're released every single Monday. Just as a reminder, on April 6th and April 13th, I'm running a critique class, Enhancing Your Critique Skills. So if you want to understand your photographs better, you want to make better photographs, you want to be able to talk about your photographs better, you want to be able to share information about your photography with your friends in a more meaningful way, make sure you check out that class. There's just a couple of spots available, so make sure you jump on that while you can. I recently taught a class on imitation, inspiration, and influence. And one of the things that sort of came out of that class that I thought was interesting was learning in depth, or learning a little bit more about a photographer who influences you in a meaningful way. And a lot of people, when they start their photography, they really don't think about the photographers who are influencing them. They're maybe not even aware of who some of those photographers are. Just they've seen some photographs they like, and they start to emulate those or mimic those. And it sort of turns into their own personal style, but it's born and rooted out of one of these other photographers. But in that class, one of the things I had people do was sort of identify some of their influences, some of their key components of what sort of things shape, design, mold their photography. And we were looking across, you know, multiple genres, books, literature, movies, people. But one of the things we looked at was photographers, and people selected a photographer that they wanted to then dive a little bit deeper into, do a little bit more research into. And I think it was such a really interesting exercise, and the value of that exercise was so good, I sort of wanted to talk about how you could approach that in today's podcast. So today's podcast is sort of all about the value and importance of identifying the influences in your photography, and then why we should learn more about those photographers. One of the first things we've got to figure out sort of in that process is sort of who influences us. Who are the photographers that sort of matter to us? And what's interesting about this is a lot of us jump to the photographers that are in the genre of the things we photograph. So if we're a portrait photographer, we jump to Annie Leibovitz, or if we're a street photographer, we jump to Jamal Shabazz, we jump to Robert Frank, we jump to whoever. If we're a landscape person, we think of Galen Rowell, or if we're in conservation, maybe we think of Amy Vitale. Whatever it is, we think of a photographer who we sort of know. But we also have a lot of photographers out there who we've sort of seen their work and we're not sure who they are. And that's where a little bit of pre-research before you select your person becomes important, and sort of identifying, if you like street photography, just going up, and even if you just did a Google search for, you know, significant street photographers or significant portrait photographers, and started to look not just at websites, but just sort of the image results, and recognize like, oh, I know that photograph, or I've seen that photograph, or I remember that photograph, or wow, I saw that photograph as a kid and it really sort of stuck with me and I've always sort of remembered that photograph. That starts to let you sort of see who some of these photographers are, for you to identify sort of, again, who sort of molded you into the photographer you're becoming. Once you sort of identify four or five of those types of photographers, selecting one of them is, I think, important and significant. You want to select a photographer that you know has had an impact on your work in a meaningful way and in a significant way. When you think of people who say, oh, you know, your photography is sort of like this person, or you can say, oh, you know, this person's really sort of influenced the way I think about my approach to photography. Now, what's really critical is once we identify that person is, I think it's always worth doing a little biographical dig into that person. When were they born? What did they do for a living? Were they a photographer? Were they a mathematician? Were they a musician? What interest did they have? Where did they primarily work? Were they in Europe? Were they in Africa? Were they in Asia? Where did they primarily do their photography? What type of photography did they actually do? Maybe you only know about a little subset of their photography, but maybe they did a lot of other types of photography. So sort of getting a little biographical information there. And one of the things that is interesting in that process is a lot of times we start to see some similarities in terms of upbringing or common interests that they have. Maybe you're into music and you find out that person was also into music. So there's always these little interesting little overlaps of information. But that biographical information sort of makes the photographs we look at, they're more real because they're now attached to somebody who we know a little bit more about. We've started to build a more sort of intimate relationship with that person, whether we've met them or not, or whether we know them or not, whether they're living or not. But the more information we have about them, the deeper that connection is to understanding the work and the motivations behind the work. I think it's also important at that point to sort of, again, identify and not just sort of peruse through and flip through a book, but really identify, like, what type of photography did this person do? What was it about that work that was significant and important? And if we take a example and say landscape photography, there is a big difference between landscape photographers in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, the mid 1900s, the late 1900s, and the 2000s. There's a big difference in what those photographers photograph, the way they photograph, what they approach in their photography, what they're trying to convey and communicate in that photography. And so understanding when they photographed, what they photographed, and the why they photographed it the way they did. So somebody who is photographing for the beauty of the land versus how people interact with the land, those are two different sort of genres of landscape photography, two different approaches, two different models and methods of understanding and thinking about landscape photography. But looking at sort of why did they make those photographs? What is it about those photographs also that speaks to you? And this is the part that requires, again, that additional work on your part to sit down and not just, I like the photograph, but what is it about that work that compels you? What about that person's experience behind the camera led you to sort of identify them as somebody of interest for you? I think it's also worth doing a little bit of work on your part to try to figure out why they took the photographs they took. What was it about those photographs? What was it about the creation of those photographs, the making of those photographs that was interesting to them? And why would you have done something similar if you were a photographer? What is it about that work that is compelling to you? Identifying the why element, I think, is important there. I think one of the other interesting pieces in that process is you're looking at somebody who has an influence on your work. I think it's also important to go look at sort of who influences that person. Is there somebody in the past that's sort of in a spider web? If they're the center of the spider web, as you start to branch out, what influenced them? Were there other photographers? Were there other writers? Because if this person's had a heavy influence on you, you may find that by exploring their influences, you gain a deeper insight into sort of the interest of your own body of work, the things that are relevant to you, the things that matter to you in the body of work. So if you learn that as a landscape photographer, the landscape photographer you're interested in was also influenced by Thoreau's Walden, maybe John Muir's work on the Muir Trail, maybe they were influenced by some law that passed, maybe they're influenced by Bertinsky, whatever it is, whoever it is or whatever it is, whatever the photographer is and the influences they have, pull on that thread a little bit. Go down that rabbit hole, sort of go into the Alice in Wonderland metaphor of diving down the rabbit hole, figuring out what is it about this person and how they developed and were shaped and molded by the photographers of interest to them. And again, for a lot of us, these photographers may not even be alive anymore. They may be photographers who passed away decades ago or years ago, but we're still impacted by them. And because of the internet, because of the information and the availability of the information that's out there, we can learn a lot about these people and the sort of influences they had. I think the other thing that's really interesting is to go through and identify within their body of work and your body of work. So it's a two-step process there, but identify in their body of work of their photographs, which ones are the most significant to you, not which ones are the most famous. Not if your Ansel Adams is your subject matter, you wouldn't necessarily choose Moonrise over Hernandez. I mean, you might, but that's one of the most iconic photographs of Ansel's, but that may not be significant to you. There may be something else of Ansel's work that was significant. Maybe it was in the close-up work. Maybe it was in some of the portraits we see. Whatever it is, but that idea, that notion of what work is significant there, and trying to identify the significance of that work. Why is some of that work more or less significant? Why is some of that work more or less important to you? At the same time, going back through your own work and looking at the work that you consider significant of your own work. And again, for a lot of us, that's even a hard question. It's hard to decide what of our own work is significant, particularly when we feel like we haven't necessarily identified what really matters to us in our photography. But we know which photographs we're the most proud of. We know which photographs mean the most to us, that if they were lost, if the computer crashed and the hard drive was lost, it would sort of break our heart. We're in that sort of space. Identify those significant works and then see, is there an influence there? Is there sort of a relationship between this person's work of significance and yours? Because one of the things that is really interesting is that one of the keys of understanding an influence is understanding what lessons do we take from them. And so many times we think what we take is oftentimes a sense of scene or technical aspect of the photography. But what we may actually learn from the photographer, what the influence may be, is in terms of thematic concepts, approaches, philosophies, ideas. It may not be necessarily in the essence of the photography. It may be in something in their approach to it. You know, one of the things I've always loved about Nan Golden's work is how honest and raw and self-exposing Nan's work is. And I think for me, one of the things the influence is not that I necessarily want to photograph the same things Nan did in the way Nan does, but rather the influence of the honesty in that work. And how does that honesty translate into somebody who doesn't photograph people and doesn't photograph people in community, who doesn't photograph political social justice issues like Nan does. I'm a guy who photographs, you know, inanimate objects in nature a lot of times. So how do I translate that raw honesty into that relationship? That's an interesting question. I think that's an interesting concept to say the influence of like Nan Goldin, the lesson to take from Nan for me is the real honesty, the real connection, the truth behind the lens, so to speak. Not in terms of technique, subject matter, and subject. And that's one of the real, I think, exciting parts about when we start to understand influences in photography is that the influences can be completely different. They can shift our approach to our photography because they fundamentally shift us as photographers. I'm not the same photographer because I'm influenced by somebody. Again, not that I want to go out and photograph the same thing. I don't want to go photograph El Capitan inside Yosemite the same way Ansel did, but I do want to make sure that I'm creating intimate landscapes that people can connect with in a meaningful way. Do I take other things in terms of technique and concept maybe from Ansel? Absolutely. But just like with Nan, just like with countless other photographers, the idea of being present in the moment, the idea of relating to the subject matter, the idea of acknowledging the subject, all those things are elements that have been brought to me by other photographers. And to incorporate those into the work, I think is meaningful. When we research photographers, when we do a deeper dive with these photographers, when we make a bigger commitment other than just looking at a few images, it is in that deeper dive that we find out what works and doesn't work in their photography, not as subject matter, but as an approach to being a good photographer, to being a photographer who's creating work that is significant in our eyes, that allows us to hopefully then apply those lessons to create more significant work out of our own experiences. So if you haven't done the work to do a little deep dive into a photographer, I would highly encourage you to try that. It's a really great experience. Like I said, in the class I taught, it really, really made a huge difference in the approach people had. And it was really amazing to sort of see that conversation develop and how you could see that work sort of emulated across a variety of different photographers and different subject matters. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. Thank you so much for joining me again for The Perceptive Photographer. Again, I'm Daniel Gregory, the host of The Perceptive Photographer. Here every Monday, we release a new podcast. So again, make sure you hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with all the latest podcasts. Also, don't forget to check out all the classes and workshops I'm offering up on my website at danieljgregory.com, particularly that enhancing critique class, because it's a great one, and I would hate for you to miss out on that. Again, have a great week, and I'll see you next time.